God be the glory. Great things he had done. Thank you, Miss Tammy. Thank you, musicians. Take your Bible tonight, please, and go with me to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Chapter number 3, please. 1 Peter, chapter number 3. On this special occasion, I wanted to find the mind of God and the will of God as to what direction he'd have us to go tonight, considering the celebration that we are enjoying tonight, the 50-year anniversary of Brother Willie and Miss Sue Spartman. Now, tonight is not actually the anniversary. Friday is the date, August 5th. Tonight, as a church, we get to celebrate with this wonderful couple what God has done in their life. And as I was trying to find the mind of God and the heart of God for this message, the Lord brought me to 1 Peter chapter number 3. Now, in a few weeks, Lord willing, in a few weeks, either August 14th or August 21st, I'm still trying to wrestle with when we'll start that, but on a Sunday evening, in a few weeks, I'm going to start a series of messages on the home. It's going to be the first series I've ever preached here at Fundamental Baptist Church. We're going to spend some time in Ephesians chapter 5 studying what the Bible says about the home. We have so many young couples and families in this church, but even those who've been married a while and the kids moved on could use some refreshers every now and then. So we're going to spend some time studying the Word of God and what the Bible says about the home and the relationships in the home. The title of the series is going to be How to Have a Heavenly Home. And we'll study the best we can the Word of God. And one of the verses that we're going to look at tonight is one of the passages we will review again. We will meet these verses again in that series. But I feel like the Lord wants us to look tonight at 1 Peter chapter 3. Now we're going to start reading in verse 1. But verse 7 is where we're going to focus tonight. Verse 1 of chapter 3 of 1 Peter. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won with the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. I still haven't got Kelly to obey that verse, but we're still working on it. Whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. And here's where I felt like the Lord wanted us to go tonight. Verse number 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. We're going to focus tonight, as already stated, on verse number 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, your wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. I want to preach tonight just for a moment on helps for husbands. Helps for husbands. Men, we have a lot of information in this little verse. This verse is packed with truth that will can revolutionize your own personal life, and in particular, your home, your relationship with your wife. And if the relationship with your wife is transformed, so will the relationship with your children as well. So we're going to look tonight at some principles given to us in this verse, and then we'll move on with our celebration tonight. I want to say something real quickly about in this verse concerning the residing or the residence of the husband. The residing of the husband. Notice what it says here. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them. Now, we assume you get married, you move in together, you dwell with one another. But you'd be surprised how many couples get married and they may even have the same address, but there's not a lot of dwelling together that's going on. What he's saying here is, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with him. The Bible is commanding and assuming that you want to be with your wife. It is God's will for you to desire to be with your wife. You'd be surprised how many marriages, maybe you wouldn't be, how many marriages the husband really likes being at work or going out of town or going on a hunting trip because he doesn't have to be around his wife. The Bible says you're to dwell with them. It's God's will. You're one flesh. It's God's will for you to enjoy each other's company. Now, ladies, let me give you a little pastoral advice. I know the verse doesn't talk about you in the sense of dwelling. The husband is to dwell. But let me give you some advice. Conduct yourself in such a way that he will enjoy dwelling with you. Just a little free advice there to help you. Now, you ladies, you could say, well, the Bible commands it, so regardless of how I act, he should do that. Well, technically, you're right. But it sure does make obeying the Word of God a lot easier when the wife is pleasant to live with. But men, regardless of how she conducts herself, you and I are to dwell with our wives. God expects and demands a relationship with you and your spouse. But not only do we see the residing of the husband, we see the recognition of the husband. The Bible says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, watch this, according to knowledge. The recognition of the husband. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Men, do you know the Bible says that you and I are to get to know our wives? We're commanded by this verse to know our wives. Now, I don't know if your wife is like my wife, Kelly. She kind of likes to brag every now and then, you don't know me. You don't know me. And I'm like, woman, yes, I do. Yes, I do. I'll predict something. I'll say something. Oh, you don't know me. She is a characteristically, she is a private person. That's her nature. But I'm sorry. When you live with somebody for a while, you do, as private as they may be, you do get to know them. But it's God's will for you to get to know her. As the leader of the home, you're to know who you're leading. You're to know what you're leading. You're to know her likes and her dislikes. You need to know her favorites. You need to know where she likes to go, what she likes to do, where she likes to eat. You ought to know what color her eyes are. You ought to know what her favorite color is. You ought to get to know your wife. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:18 that we're to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But God gave us the relationship of the home, of the marriage. Ephesians 5 clearly teaches that the relationship between a husband and a wife is to parallel the relationship between Jesus Christ and the church. And as the church of Jesus Christ, we are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Him, then there ought to be a growth in the knowledge of one another in our home. And me and you are the one that's leading in that responsibility. Getting to know your wife. By the way, it doesn't say that she is commanded here to get to know you. Now, that doesn't mean that she shouldn't, but you're to lead in this. lot of men, let's be honest, a lot of men, you want what you want the dinner, you want whatever, when you want it, at your time. You want her to make sure she knows your desire and who you are. But me and the Bible commands you and I to get to know our spouse. That's our job. No, according to our society, that doesn't sound like the manliest thing in the world. But according to God, it is. Men, get to know your wives. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Notice the regarding of the husband. The husband, according to this verse, should regard his wife's contrasts, contrasting with him. Look what the Bible says. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. When it says that she's the weaker vessel, he's comparing her to you. We have a contrast here. And you are to regard that contrast. And because she's the weaker vessel, you are to give honor unto the wife. The fact that she's a weaker vessel does not mean that she's weaker mentally. It doesn't necessarily mean that she's weaker emotionally. Although that usually is the case, not always. Most of the time, it would certainly apply physically. Most men are stronger than their wives. I've known a few wives. Some of them in my family. Like, she could beat him up. Y'all never had the privilege of meeting my grandma. My grandma was from Booger Holler, Virginia. Do I need to explain anything else there? I was thinking today about that, but she's from Booger Holler. And I thought, you know, that probably means because the boogers would holler when those Virginia women would walk by. Whoa, whoa, we're terrified. Run, you know. My grandma, when she was 15 years old, I don't know why. Most young boys don't jaw and run their mouth at their grandma, but I did. And me and grandma are running our mouth at each other. And I'm 15 years old. I'm like, grandma, I can beat them boys up. I can take you, grandma. She says, I'll body slam you right now. I said, there's no way. Now, I didn't fight her. I didn't fight against her. I said, go ahead and try. My grandma picked me up and body slammed me. Because she's from Booger Holler, Virginia. So there are some ladies. Now, if you knew my grandpa, you understand he's a man's man, and so there was no issue there. He was a strong, strong man, so he was stronger than grandma. But my grandpa was such a man. When my grandma, they weren't married, obviously, at the time, and she had a little boyfriend. My grandma did. And her boyfriend were walking to church one Sunday morning. And grandma and her boyfriend are standing on a little street corner in Packlet, South Carolina. And grandpa walks up. And she's standing there with her boyfriend. And grandpa walked up and said to grandma, you're going to church with me today. And she walked right off, left her boyfriend standing there, and went to church with grandpa that day. And they got married 6 weeks later. And they were married until he went home to be with the Lord in April of 1997. He was a man's man. But most men would not be more powerful than my grandma. There's just some women that are. But normally the husband is stronger than the wife. But regardless of whether who has the physical or the emotional or the mental strength, the position that God has put that husband and wife into is he recognizes the wife as the weaker vessel. And that husband is to reverence her and honor her. Now, we talk about, and we will talk about when we go through our study in Ephesians 5 of the wife reverencing their husbands. But the verse says that the husband is to give honor unto the wife. Men, do you honor your wife? Recognizing the contrast. The fact that she's recognized as the weaker vessel, it doesn't mean that she is inferior to you and that you are superior to her. Now, there's a number of areas my wife is superior to me. But what it is speaking of here is the price and the value. What he's saying here is you should honor your wife as if you would honor fine china. The fine china would be the most valuable set of dishes that you have in your house. But you're not going to pull them out to eat hot dogs on them. So you honor them. You put them in an encasement. They're handled very carefully. They're not dealt with just like every other plate in the house or every other cup in the house. Fellas, you and I are Dixie paper plates. Do what you want to. But she's fine china, and she's to be honored as such. Someone said that God took Eve from the rib, from the side of Adam, so that she could walk alongside of him. Not from his head, so that she could be above him, and not from his feet, so that he could walk on her, but from his side, near to his heart, so they can walk side by side. Honor your wife. The husband should regard his wife's contrast, but the husband should regard his wife's commonalities. There are things that you have similar to one another. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Being heirs together of the grace of life. He's not talking about what we inherit when we get to heaven. He's talking about what we inherit right now in this life. There are mutual blessings that God wants to give to you and your home. Husbands, if you'll recognize and regard who your wife is, if your relationship with your wife is as it should be, you will receive blessings from the Lord that you would not otherwise receive. That brings me to the last thought, the reward of the husband. And really, this would be the reward of the home. You do this that your prayers be not hindered. Let me say it this way. If you have a hard time talking to your wife, you're going to have a hard time talking to God. If you want God to listen to you, you better learn to listen to your wife and hear what she has to say. She's the weaker vessel. You're to honor her. And God says, if you'll honor her, get to know her, recognize her, then I'll reward you by honoring you and regarding you and recognizing you. It could be that there are people in here today, your prayer life is not what it ought to be. In fact, it's in shambles just because your relationship with your spouse isn't where it ought to be. That's what the verse says. You live this way that your prayers be not hindered. I haven't said this too often since I've been here, but I will say it more. As we walk through the Word of God together, you will hear me say, God likes pictures. And you don't mess with God's pictures. All through the Bible, God gives us pictures, and you do not mess with them. Nadab and Abihu messed with God's pictures and they burned strange fire. God took them out. Moses messed with God's picture. He struck the rock the first time as he was supposed to. The second time he was just to speak to the rock, but he struck it again. The picture there is Christ. The rock was Christ. And the first striking was to be a picture of the death of Jesus Christ. And the water coming forth was the water of life that comes forth to bring salvation. But from that point on, there's only one crucifixion. There's only one death. From then on, you just pray. You just speak to it. But he struck it again. He redid the picture and he messed it up. And it kept him, by the way, out of the promised land. And there's a lot of denominations who have genuinely born again people who love God, but they never do get victory because they always think they can lose their salvation. Well, every time I fall into sin, I've lost my salvation. Now I got to get saved again. You know what they're doing? They're striking that rock over and over and over again. And it keeps them out of the promised land. Keeps them out of victory. You can't lose your salvation. You know why? Because God has this picture. You strike the rock once, and the rest of the time, you speak to it. You pray. Don't mess with God's picture. We have pictures of the New Testament. You have the picture of the Lord's Supper. That's a picture of the death of Jesus Christ. And we're to show forth his death with the Lord's Supper until he comes, the Bible says. But it's a picture. But you read 1 Corinthians 11. You mess with God's picture. God told them, some of you are sick, some of you are weak, and some of you are even asleep. You've died because you mess with God's picture. You don't mess with God's pictures. And one of God's pictures, I stated it already, I'll say it again, is the picture of the husband and the wife. That's a picture, according to Ephesians 5, of Christ and his church. In your home, that marital relationship is to picture Jesus Christ and the church. And if that picture is off, and the wife is the Lord, and the wife is the leader, and the husband is the follower, and he doesn't have any backbone, he doesn't lead, the picture's off. Or if the husband is a leader, but he's abusive and talks down to his wife and is ugly and cruel to her, the picture's off. Some of us men may need to ask a question every now and then. When you speak to your wife, does Jesus talk to you like that? Some men talk to their wives in ways the Lord has never said anything to them like that. We mess with God's picture, and it messes up our prayer. That your prayers be not hindered. These are just some helps for husbands tonight. Now, in a few weeks, we're going to dive deeper into the Word of God, and we're going to look at the responsibility of the wives, and the responsibility of the husbands, and the responsibility of the children. But tonight, I believe, and we're going to say in just a moment to Brother Willie, the man is to take the initiative. The man is to take the first step. Well, I think the wife ought to dwell with the husband. I think the wife ought to get to know the husband. I think the wife ought to recognize and reverence the husband. I think the wife can hinder prayers as well. And that, all that's right. But the verse doesn't mention her as the leader in this. It says you and I as husbands are. So men, let's take the initiative of being the men that God has called us to be in our homes. Because our relationship with the Lord, not our salvation, but our fellowship with the Lord, it's on the line. If I'm not right with my spouse, I'm not right with my Savior. Maybe tonight, some husbands and wives need to get along and say, I'm sorry. Forgive me for speaking to you the way I have spoken to you. Forgive me for having an attitude like I've had. Forgive me for talking to you in a way that contradicts the Word of God. I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good wife. I want to walk with God and walk with you. I want to dwell with Him and dwell with you. Tonight, men, take the initiative. And then watch God bless your home. Amen. Miss Tammy, Brother Mike, if y'all come on. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you tonight for this verse. Thank you, Lord, for this occasion. Thank you, Lord, for Willie and Sue and their faithfulness to you, first and foremost, and their faithfulness to one another. Please bless and strengthen this celebration. In your name we pray. Amen.